Hi, I'm David Yak with Colorado Technology Consultants. In this session, we're going to talk about the new WCF interface that's part of Dynamics CRM 2011. The WCF interface is what you're going to interact with when you're working with data in CRM. It replaces the prior ones where you had to do the add service reference and all the stuff. There's a lot of cleanup that's gone into it, and it's also bringing in a lot of new features that we'll be able to take advantage of to build other things as we go forward. What I'm going to do in this session is set the stage for how you use the interface, what the shape looks like, how you connect to it. And then in a subsequent session, we'll go through some of the working with the entity, the typed entities, as well as going through some of the query patterns that you can use with it. We'll continue on looking at the link provider and some of the OData capabilities that sit on top of the WCF interface to provide the full set of data access technologies that you have when programmatically working with data in CRM 2011. There are a number of things that when they set out to look at, if they're rebuilding the interface, what things do they have to keep in mind? And a lot of these things came from a lot of you that are watching this that gave feedback. Things like it was too slow to connect, that we want to use more of the native .NET types. That also tries to leverage a lot of the things like the knowable types that have came out since the original CRM interface was created for CRM 4. You'll see that continue to change in here. Also, one of the key things that they want to keep in mind is backward compatibility. So regardless of, maybe you're not ready to move to CRM 2011's interface that we're going to be going through today, you have confidence in knowing that the CRM 4 interface will still work with CRM 2011. So the backward compatibility is there if you have code that's using it. Of course, you won't be able to take advantage of the new features in 2011, but the same type of access that you were doing in CRM 4 generally will work with CRM 2011. So you'll see a lot of focus around the native types. We'll talk about some of the before and after as we get a little bit further into the session. You'll see some consolidation, so the shape that I show you for the interface, the contract that we'll be working with, and I'll explain a little bit more about how contract comes into play. It's not something you have to sign. It's all about the WCF capabilities that we'll be talking about. There are a lot of messages that have been streamlined out, and you'll see how things are starting to shift between a CRM and an XRM namespace. As you work with the interface, you'll kind of be navigating that, depending on whether you're doing something that's more lower level, more common, or whether you're doing something very CRM-specific. You're seeing a lot of the developer experience tried to be streamlined. So where you might have had to write 400 or 500 lines of code to connect in the different scenarios, you're going to see that significantly reduced, more helpers provided in the SDK, as well as a lot of the helpers actually wrapped into the assemblies that come in the SDK, not just samples. So we'll be talking a little bit about some of those classes as we get a little further in this session as well. And of course, we'll see some improved performance. Improved performance was one of the key objectives that they had, starting from things like as simple as the connect time to try to reduce that, on to the serialization. So part of picking up, and I'll talk about WCF in a little bit, but part of picking up WCF was to try to take advantage of some of the serialization performance improvements and things like that that WCF has to offer. If you're not a WCF guru, you're not an expert at WCF, you don't have to be to use the CRM interface. That's part of the reason they adopted WCF. WCF is Windows Communication Foundation. It was first introduced in .NET 3. Its whole goal is to provide some unification across the communication technologies so that you don't have to be the expert at all the low-level stuff, and also to abstract us some from the low-level details. It also sets the stage for Microsoft as building the SDK to do some of that work for us, because that's what the plumbing of WCF allows them to do by behaviors and other capabilities. WCF oftentimes is, people are told to think of the ABCs. It's not the alphabets. It's basically address, binding, and contracts. So the address is just as it sounds. It's where am I connecting to? It's the CRM server address. It's how you get there. The bindings, I'll come back to that in a second. Let's talk about contract. Contract is the what you're going to interoperate with, what messages you're going to do. It's the shape of that interface. So it defines what you're going to send to the server, what you're going to receive back, and the methods that you're going to call to be able to do that. And we'll see the shape in our case for the contract is I organization service that we'll primarily be working with when we work at the WCF layer. And that defines the methods and the operations that we're going to be doing. Now, the binding is important because what the binding does is kind of glue this all together. It's where you tie together the options, you tie together the contract, you set up the options on any type of performance or settings, timeouts. Those are all configured. And that's one of the nice things about WCF is you have a lot of configurability. It also abstracts a lot of that for future-proofing to make it a little so you don't have to deal with a lot of those settings as they change and things like that. a lot of work has been done in the SDK to hide a lot of the complexity that comes along with any type of communication, and that's part of the benefits of moving to 2011. You'll notice in the past how you had to do things like add reference for each organization. You'll now be able to simply reference the CRM SDK assemblies, and you'll be ready to go connecting to any server. And we'll talk about how we come back and get the types in the next session, but for now we're just focusing on the pure WCF endpoint. This diagram tries to give us a high-level overview of how this all plays out. Certainly at the top, you have the data and the metadata. One of the things that you'll notice, in addition to each organization not having its own endpoint that's customized, you also notice that the metadata has been rolled into the same endpoint. So as we're working with the service, we don't have a metadata service and we have a data service that we're working with. We have an organization service that provides both capabilities for us. So whether you're working with data or metadata, you're able to get to it through one connection. Those are extended out in two different primary ways. One is the SOAP. That's what we'll be primarily talking about in this session. The other is through a REST endpoint, or you hear us talk about it as OData or WCF Data Services. It's basically designed to allow Silverlight clients, jQuery, anything that is client-hosted to be able to work with the CRM data from within those client extensions. And we'll talk about those more in subsequent steps. The important thing to know is ultimately those also go across some of the same underlying capabilities through the WCF endpoint. In this, we're going to be talking primarily about the SOAP endpoint. And the SOAP can be used in either a late-bound fashion, meaning that I decide at runtime what types I'm going to be working with. I don't have, you know, a contact object. I'm just working with whatever is presented to me. Or an early bound where I've generated code. I have a representation of a class, just like you did when you did an add service reference, but we're going to talk about it being done in a little different way when we get into talking about entity and the typed shapes a little later on. Either of those, your experience, you don't do an add service reference, you're just referencing the CRM assemblies. We'll talk about that and see an example of that as we get a little bit further in here. But those give you the ability to work with the service without having to do a lot of, you know, 500 or 600 lines of code to get started. It's just a handful of lines and you're connected in the, you know, the common scenarios. And of course, there's still a WSDL experience for non-.NET clients. So if you're working with it outside the traditional .NET development environment, you can, of course, use the WSDL service to be able to work with it and interact with the service just like you did in CRM Forum before. I mentioned some separation and starting to kind of separate the XRM types from the CRM types. You're going to see a lot of the things have moved into an XRM namespace. It'll be also in the XRM assembly when you're referencing the files. The XRM namespace represents things that are more generic. You might think of them as the XRM application framework. They're starting to pull those out from the things that are very CRM specific, whereas you might get into things like a sales process or things like that are really more CRM centric. The service contract is implemented as iOrganization service. That's a C# or VB interface that basically you'd work with. It defines the methods and the contents that'll be going back and forth. Every organization exposes this interface, so there's not a custom WSDL like there was with CRM4 for each organization. Each of them have a common consolidated interface that has only the core methods I'm going to show you in a little bit. And we're still able to have uniqueness to the organization when we talk about code generation later in the entity and query module, but what the core one does is want to provide that. And that's part of how they're able to get that performance improvement, that connect time be a little bit faster than we saw where it had to absorb the large unique endpoint from each of the organizations and that wasn't able to be packaged up as part of the SDK. So let's look at the organization service. There's only a handful of methods, so I wanted to walk through these a little bit, and we'll see a little bit more examples of these as we get into subsequent sessions. You have the create, update, and delete, so these are pretty obvious. Notice they take an entity. Entity is the new dynamic entity. I'll be talking about that in the next session. We won't be covering it a lot here, but just think of it as just the generic representation of data moving from the server. When we talk about late and early bound types and the code generation, you'll see that those also are based on entity, and that allows us to have one consistent way that we work with data being passed. Create, update, and delete also, or I should say, anytime you're working with the entity, so like on create and update, you're able to do what's called related operations. So things like I want to create an account and some related tasks. I could do that all with one interaction with create. The nice thing about that is that it allows that to actually be transacted because it's only one interaction with the server. So you get a positive yes or no at completed. It's not done with two discrete operations. Execute, associate, and disassociate. So these are the other key ones. So execute is the workhorse. This is where anything like retrieving metadata to adding members to a marketing list, those are all done through the execute method. So execute is kind of the workhorse, but the other ones, create, update, delete, associate, and disassociate, are kind of helper methods to allow you to do that. You can still do a retrieve or retrieve multiple through the execute, but the retrieve method itself or the create, for example, are just helpers to make it a little bit easier to be able to do those operations that are very common. And, of course, you have also the retrieve as well as retrieve multiple. Notice that they return entity types, so you're able to get back a collection of the entities or a specific entity that you're working with. And in the case of where you have the typed classes present, you'll get that back as a contact or a gym location or whatever is relevant in your scenario. There's a lot that's been done to try to reduce the amount of work you have to do to connect to CRM. Because of the different authentication type options, oftentimes that can be complex. That we saw in prior versions. CRM 2011 tries to simplify that. There's a few things that are done to try to streamline that. First of all, there's some helper classes that are part of the SDK assemblies, specifically Discovery Service Proxy and Organization Service Proxy. These implement the interfaces for the services. So iOrganization Service is implemented by Organization Service Proxy, which means that when you get back an Organization Service Proxy instance, you can treat it just like an iOrganization Service. It has the same methods on it. It just is a wrapper around that to provide some of the WCF connectivity setup and some of the configuration that you'd normally have to do if you're taking that all on yourself. And I'll show you an example in a minute of using the Organization Service Proxy and some of the minimal amount of code to just get connected to CRM. We'll go through and build that out. There's also some other samples that are part of the SDK. These are ones, they aren't provided in the assemblies for the SDK. They're ones that you can pick up and use to make your life a little bit easier connecting, or use them as examples to get started. There's server connection and also device ID manager. Device ID manager is particularly helpful if you're connecting to CRM Online. CRM Online has a requirement to have a device ID for the client connecting to it, which is basically a one-time registration that once you have that, you can reuse that. And you'll see examples in the SDK where they go through and connect with that. But it's there so you don't have to write that extra bit of code. You can just pick that up and be able to use that. So what I thought we'd do now is go ahead and create a quick WCF service. Okay, so I've switched over here to our CRM server, and I brought up Visual Studio. And what we're going to do is go ahead and keep this simple. We're going to go ahead and create a console project. What I want to show in this is not some elaborate queries or anything like that. I just want to show simply connecting, and we're going to use the Who Am I request to get back the ID that we're connected to CRM with, because I want to show the basics of kind of getting started connecting to a on-premise CRM. This is where you're using Active Directory. Using Live ID is just a couple more additional lines that we'd basically enable to allow us to get the device ID that I talked about. But we're just going to focus right now on getting connected to the on-premise CRM that's right by us that we're logged into right now. So we're going to call this Connect, call it WCF Connect. Now, in this case, there's a little bit of housekeeping I have to do before we get started. I need to convert this over. The console application start up with the client profile. There's a couple things in the WCF interface that likes to have the full profile. So we're going to switch that over. We're going to go add some references. So the first thing I want to do is go ahead and reference the assemblies from the CRM SDK. So this assumes that you've downloaded the SDK, that you have inside the SDK folder, there's a bin folder. And there's a number of assemblies in here. The ones we're particularly interested in for doing connections to CRM are microsoft.xrm.sdk.dll and microsoft.crm.sdk.proxy.dll. So I'm going to select those two, add the reference. I'm also going to add a couple of other references to some regular .NET things. So system.runtime.serialization, and also system.serviceModel. Okay, so we got that there. And what I'm going to do now is jump over to the program. I'm going to include some usings. So let's just grab those from clipboard so you don't have to watch me type forever. So I'm going to add usings. And what I'm doing is I'm adding to system service model description. I'm also referencing some of the XRM namespaces. So this is the core connectivity for XRM.SDK.client, XRM.SDK. And I'm also referencing the crm.sdk.message. That's where the who am I message that we're going to use to find out who we're logged into resides. I'm going to use a little helper method here. This is just a few lines of code, and we'll look at it and explain what it does. And what this is going to do is help me get connected to the CRM server. Now, in the past, if you've worked with CRM 4, there's a lot of other stuff. You had to add the reference. You had to do a lot of stuff. I don't need to do that with CRM 2011. If I reference the assemblies, it has in it the organization service helper class, organization service proxy class. Through that, I'm able to get the configuration. And you can. There's actually a couple different ways you can do this. I'm just showing the kind of the couple line approach. If you look at server connect in the SDK, it provides some additional options you can do and things like that. Obviously, if we didn't know the server, we might want to discover it. So that's where you'd use the iDiscovery service interface, along with there's the discovery service proxy helper class that wraps up just like the organization service proxy class does. I'm assuming that I'm on-premise, so I'm creating a client credential class that is part of the basically setting it up to use the active logged-in user. And then I am pulling on there to get an instance of it. So I'm saying create an instance of organization service proxy. Now remember I said the organization service proxy is really just implements that a wrapper around iOrganization service. So you'll see if you look at the inheritance hierarchy here, organization service inherits from service proxy and it takes an iOrganization service. And also implements that iOrganization service interface, which means for all effective purposes, the instance we get back when we create a new instance of that, we can treat like an iOrganization service. And remember the methods I talked about on here, so kind of the handful of things from associate, create, delete, and so forth. Those are all the things that we basically talked about. Okay, and so once we have that, the other thing that we'll be talking about more in the next session, but since we're talking about connections, this doesn't know about the typed objects. So if we generate code to basically represent our objects from the metadata, like we'll be doing in the next session, there's one other thing you have to do to get the WCF endpoint to, when it makes requests to be able to serialize and deserialize those for use, and that's add this proxy type behavior. This proxy type behavior is a specific class that basically knows how to look at the generated code that we're going to generate in the next session. And when it sees an object that comes across the wire as contact or any of your custom entities, it knows how to do the serialization for you. So you don't have to deal with any of that. You just have to kind of reference that. And so we're going to go ahead and leave that in for now. The other thing that we want to do is just call this method. So I'm going to add a method to basically call and get an instance. So that'll give us a instance of iOrganization service. I'm using var here, but I think everybody hopefully is familiar with the way that var works. It's basically an inferred type. I could just do this as well, and that's perfectly acceptable and provides produces the same generated code. And once I have the instance, what I want to do is go ahead and invoke it. Looks like we got a little bit of extra white space in there. Let's clean that up. And so what we've done here is we call the method, it goes through, gets the configuration, it gets the organization service, and then it invokes the exec of the who am I request and gives us the results. Let's go ahead and run that. Oh, looks like we got a little thing to fix first. Runtime is not defined, so what it's asking for is system runtime serialization. I thought we added that before, but you guys must not be keeping me honest here. Maybe we added its evil twin cousin. So let's try this again. Make sure we build this time. That all looks good, and let's run. And we see that we get the user ID back there that we were getting from the Who Am I request. So what we've shown here is that we didn't have to do a lot of code. We didn't have to update the reference. So if you remember in the prior, you used to have to update the reference. That reference took time to consume because of the large metadata. We used to also have a lot of lines of code. Some people would say as much as 500 or 600 lines of code just to even be able to connect. Obviously, what you'll want to do, you can pull this out into your own helper method, your own helper class, however you want to wrap around it. But end of the day, what you want to get back is this iOrganization service. That's your way that you can interact with the WCF service. So with that, just to recap, we're using WCF now, Windows Communication Foundation. There's been a lot of streamlining to the number of messages and the shape of the contract that we're interacting with, which ultimately lead to better performance. We're taking advantage of WCF to provide better serialization and other capabilities that it offers from the underlying plumbing, abstracting us to focus more on interacting with the service. The CRM4 endpoint is still supported, so if you just want to move your code forward, you don't have to convert all of that. But if you do want to take advantage of some of the new CRM 2011 features, the new WCF endpoint is the way to go.